Success Live with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, PhD.
Segment 2. Getting ready, hourly helps. Getting Ready, from the book Your Personal Roadmap for Success by Donald Gordon Carty, Your Inner Work Journal. Since it is helpful to not only write down, but to do the exercises included in these lectures in a journal of some kind, you might want to dedicate a notebook or loose-leaf binder, as well as pencils for this purpose. I suggest that you use your Inner Work Journal to record the insights which will come to you as you listen to these lectures. Most people find that this information not only moves them, but also brings up all kinds of related issues, memories, and creative inspirations. You will therefore want to have somewhere to jot down your insights for future reference. Defining moments in your life. As a first exercise in your Inner Work Journal, I suggest you write a biography of yourself, not an autobiography. It is easier to write down about yourself in the third person. That is, as he or she rather than I. Tell your life story beginning from your earliest years, or earlier from what you know of your family history, up to the present time as if you were describing someone else. You may also wish to dedicate a page in your Inner Work Journal to each decade, leaving room to add relevant thoughts and observations as you recall more. Do not worry about being literary or correct. The important thing is to see your life as a whole, as if told by someone else. What have been the defining moments of your life, your traumas and your triumphs? Those times when you knew that, for better or worse, your life would never be the same. Who have been the most significant people in your life? Those who have acted as witnesses to your strengths, struggles and growth. Those who have hurt you, and those who have been your understanding mentors and friends. Be as detailed as possible. Come back to your biography whenever you wish to add something, and as you move through these lectures and gain more insight into yourself, your story will become richer and more meaningful as you understand yourself more deeply. Experience that feeling of success. Everyone at some time or another has been successful in the past. It does not have to have been a big success. It might have been something as unimportant as standing up to the school bully and beating him or her, winning a race in grammar school, winning the sack race at the office picnic, winning out over a teenage rival for the affections of a girl or boyfriend. Or it might be the memory of a successful sale, your most successful business deal, or winning first prize for the best cake at the county fair. What you succeeded in is not as important as the feeling of success which attended it. All that is needed is some experience where you succeeded in doing what you wanted to, in achieving what you set out to achieve, and something that brought you some feeling of satisfaction. Go back in memory and relive those successful experiences. In your imagination, revive the entire picture in as much detail as you can. In your mind's eye, see not only the main event, but all the little incidental things that accompanied your success. What sounds were there? What about your environment? What else was happening around you at the time? What objects were present? What time of year was it? Were you hot or cold, and so forth? The more detailed you can make it, the better. If you can remember in sufficient detail just what happened when you were successful at some time in the past, you will find yourself feeling just as you did then. Try to particularly remember your feeling at the time. If you can remember your feelings from the past, they will be reactivated in the present. You will find yourself feeling self-confident because self-confidence is built upon memories of past successes. Now, after arousing this general feeling of success, give your thoughts to the important sale, conference, speech, business deal, golf tournament, or whatever you wish to succeed in now. Use your creative imagination to picture yourself just how you would feel if you had already succeeded. Practice exercise. Habitually, we put on either your right shoe first or your left shoe. Habitually, you tie your shoes by either passing the right-hand lace around behind the left-hand lace or vice versa. Tomorrow morning, determine which shoe you put on first and how you tie your shoes. Now, consciously, decide that for the next 21 days you are going to form a new habit by putting on the other shoe first and tying your laces in a different way. Now, each morning you decide to put on your new shoes in a certain manner, let this simple act serve as a reminder to change other habitual ways of thinking, acting, and feeling throughout that one day. Say to yourself as you tie your shoes, "I am beginning the day in a new and better way." Then consciously decide that throughout the day, I will be as cheerful as possible. I will try to feel and act a little more friendly toward other people. I am going to be a little less critical and a little more tolerant of other people, their faults, failings, and mistakes. I will place the best possible interpretation upon their actions. Insofar as possible, I am going to act as if success were inevitable, and I already am the sort of personality I want to be. I will practice acting like and feeling like this new personality. I will not let my own opinion color the facts in a pessimistic or negative way. I will practice smiling at least 3 times during the day. Regardless of what happens, I will react as calmly and as intelligently as possible. And I will ignore completely and close my mind to all pessimistic and negative facts which I can do nothing about. Simple? Yes. But each of the above habitual ways of acting, feeling, and thinking does have beneficial and constructive influence on your self-image. Act them out for 21 days, experience them, and see if worry, guilt, and hostility have been diminished and if confidence has not increased. Lesson 6, From Attaining Your Desires by Genevieve Berend, Hourly Helps. I want this lesson to give you in the most practical form the means whereby you may meet the disquieting things of life, the things which wear soul, spirit, and body almost to the snapping point. I want you to take these admonitions and instructions into your most intimate life and keep them bright and shining by daily use. They will help you hourly in overcoming destructive elements and in attracting constructive ones. Anger. When anger begins to stir you, take deep breaths. Hold your thought on the inflow of breath as being rays of light, breathing deeper and deeper. Continue the deep breaths until you have taken 25 inhalations. Hold each one while you count to 7. Then expel slowly, keeping your thought steadily on the inhalation, mentally seeing it go all through your lungs and penetrating every part of your body as rays of light. Then meditate upon any real live thought about yourself, such as being one with all life and good. A little practice in this way will soon relieve you of the tendency to anger. Anxiety. When conditions are not to your liking and you find yourself thinking more and more about how unhappy you are because of them, stay out of doors in the open all you possibly can. Endeavor to walk at least 2 miles every day, breathing deeply of the fresh air with this thought: I am breathing in the life, the love, and the power of the universe right now. Do not permit your thought to slip back into the old groove. Fill your mind with this declaration about yourself. You have been given dominion over every adverse condition through your power of thought. Persist in your steady recognition of this fact. Tell yourself over and over again that all is well right now in your thought and feeling. Consequently, outside conditions must and will correspond. Disease. If your body is the expression of thought, then disease must be the result of a belief that your body is subject to disease. Tell yourself many times a day that all physical disease is the result of discordant thoughts, and when you have actually accepted this statement as truth, you will be careful to entertain only healthy, harmonious thoughts for yourself or another. For example, if you feel a headache coming on, begin at once to take deep breaths and repeat each breath with each breath that breath is life and that life is perfect health. I am alive, so the health of life is manifesting in me right now. Disappointment. This subtle destructive power should be shut out at all times by the recognition of your direct contact with all the joy there is, because you are one with its source, universal good. If the joyous life does not express itself through the exact channels which you expect, know that it will do so through others. Life wants to express joy through you, for it made you an instrument in which and through which to do it. Because you are here for that purpose, you can and do enjoy all the good which life has to give. Take some physical exercises while holding that thought. A good one is to sit on a chair and take a deep breath, then slowly exhale. As you exhale, gradually bend at the hips until you can touch the floor with the tips of your fingers. Repeat this 7 times with the affirmation, "The joy of God is flowing in me and through me right now." Discontent. When this enemy to peace and happiness begins to advance, sing, sing, sing. Write out loud if you can, or else do it mentally. Sing anything you like, watch your breath control, and every night put into your subconscious mind the thought that God brought you into existence for the purpose of expressing all of life's harmonies, both in you and through you, and it is your divine right to be harmony and to be harmonious in your daily experience. Meditate upon the harmony you see expressed in nature and endeavor to apply it in your thought, and then express it. Discouragement. This is failure on your part to recognize the almighty, limitless source of supply, God, as your never-failing cooperative partner. When you are assailed with the thought of discouragement, immediately ask yourself, what kind of power was it that brought me into existence, and for what purpose? Then repeat slowly and thinkingly, I do believe and I am persuaded that God is an ever-present, never-failing source of protection and supply. Watch your thoughts, lest any contrary to this affirmation be lurking around in the corners of your mind, and stick to it with all the will that you have, and you will break down the suggestion that there is any power in discouragement. Envy. Envy is due to a sense of separation from God. Good. Endeavor to realize that there is life. All that life has to give is present in its entirety at all times and in all places, and will come into visible expression through the persistent recognition of this grand fact. Fear. One writer has said that fear is the only devil there is. Certainly it is the most destructive power one can entertain. When fear comes to assail you, close the door of your mind against it with this positive thought. The only creative power there is thought. All things are possible to him who believes that the God which brought man into existence did so for the purpose of expressing his fatherly love and protection in his child. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, as my life, my intelligence, manifesting in my consciousness now. As you think this, walk briskly or take strenuous exercise. Whenever you sense fear returning, inhibit it instantly by substituting any thought which affirms the power of God in you. In short, fear is absolutely overcome by withdrawing your thought from the physical reason or argument which would cause you to believe in a power other than God and the spirit of life and love as your birthright. Indecision. This is a lack of the realization that your intelligence is the instrument through which the intelligence of the universe takes specific form. An effort to realize this fact should be a habit of mind rather than spasmodic attempts made only when the necessity for decision arises. Jealousy. This is love's greatest enemy, and if permitted to dwell within your consciousness, will ultimately destroy your ability to enjoy your life. It is a reaction of the fear of loss and can be overcome through prayer and watchfulness. Reason along these lines. God is life and God is love. I am life and I am love. I cannot lose love any more than I can lose life. When you are tempted to feel jealous, walk long distances as frequently as possible and keep your thought on love itself. Not on any one person whom you love, but just love and its attributes. Think of God as love. Keep all thought of personality out of mind, and you will find that love will spring up in you as a fountain of everlasting love and life and fill your consciousness through and through. Self-condemnation. The instant you begin to blame yourself for having done the wrong thing or for not having done the right thing, put this thought into your consciousness to the exclusion of every other. Infinite intelligence and wisdom are expressing themselves in me more and more right now. Take the exercise of bending the body from the hips without bending the knees so that you can touch the floor with the tips of your fingers, inhaling as you lift the body and exhaling every time you bend. Repeat this exercise 16 times, accompanied by the affirmation just given. Self-indulgence. This is brought about by lack of willpower, an evidence of a weak will. It means failure because you have no thought power to give the unformed energy of life the particular thought material necessary to produce desired results. Absolute mental thought control is the one and only thing which is necessary for you to do, to be, or to have what you want. Without it, you scatter your forces. If you permit your thoughts to run riot without restraint, the condition of your life will become chaotic. For example, a friend does something of which you do not approve, or perhaps your present circumstances are undesirable. Refuse to let your thought dwell on the injustice of your friend, for dwelling on it would only produce greater unhappiness for you. Control your thought and do not think of your friend in this connection. Instead, consider the many fine attributes of friendship, and this will restore harmony. Do the same in regard to your unpleasant circumstances. Don't picture them mentally and say to yourself how dreadful they are, but repeat the glorious truth which I have previously referred to. My mind is a center of divine operation, etc. And divine operation is always for greater advancement and better things. You will exercise this if you cling faithfully to this line of reasoning. Sensitiveness. A highly sensitive mind is simply a self-mind, a form of unadulterated selfishness. Your feelings are hurt because someone says something which you do not like or does something which displeases you. Or conversely, he fails to say or to do what you think he should. To eradicate this baneful thought habit, use the same method of argument as for self-indulgence. And if faithful in your mental work, your efforts will be rewarded and you will free yourself. Unhappiness. A continually unhappy state of mind is the direct result of constantly viewing life from the physical standpoint as though that were life's only reality. Every night, before you go to sleep, put well into your subconscious mind this thought: there is but one mind to think about me or to make laws over me, and that is the mind of divine love and divine power. Every morning meditate upon this thought. Use it as your shield and buckler at the first suggestion of any sense of unhappiness. You will soon find that the tendency to be discontented and unhappy will vanish, and happier conditions will come into your experience. Over the weeks and months to follow, you will be presented with a myriad of success ideas, suggestions, and concepts. History is filled with stories of individuals who dated a new era in their lives from a single idea. May your name, youthful listener, eventually be added to that already impressive and glorious list. But it's all up to you. No one else can live your life for you. No one else can succeed for you. I am certain that all of you have gone on a long drive, and after a couple of hours, you suddenly realize that you are lost. Now you begin looking for a filling station. You finally find one with a really friendly station attendant. He opens his road map, shows you where you are, and shows you how simple it is for you to get back on course. Well, consider me just your friendly station attendant. And when you get back on course, if you happen to see a few broken branches along the way, please think of me. I left them there to mark your path to a higher destiny right here on earth. A wise man once wrote, "Realize that between your birth and your death, the hours and the days and the years will probably be many. You may as well be happy with your allotted interval and live it with pride, peace, love, and accomplishment." Follow just a few of the suggestions and ideas in this lecture every day, and all that will definitely come to pass. This very moment, through these lectures, you have come to the crossroads of your life. Your struggle has ended. God is nodding and smiling. Have a good trip. I love you all. This segment sponsored by the Personal Development Institute. Please visit them at www.thepdi.com or www.personaldevelopmentinstitute.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Bye for now. Success Live with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, PhD.